Good morning, everybody. I am Pastor George Hesse. I am so blessed to be here at Trinity Lutheran Church here in Greeley, Colorado. We just recently reopened the doors. We had our first service with the people streaming in. It was awesome. Pastor did just an incredible job, and elders and everybody working together, and I think Pastor may even be coming to join us. I wasn't sure you could.
I'll watch you a little bit,
you know.
Well, welcome aboard. Well, for all of you that are joining us today, we need to talk just a minute about authority. If you had been here in our first service, Pastor had referenced it's that one verse at the end of Matthew when Jesus is talking to his disciples just before he returns to heaven, and he says, go and make disciples. We're talking about Matthew 28, 19. In your Bibles, Matthew is the first gospel. Go and make disciples. A disciple. Believers are good. Believers are great. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior? Yes, that is wonderful. But Jesus, I believe, Pastor, kicks it to the next level when he says, go and make a disciple. And how do you envision the word disciple?
Disciple is somebody that's following their teacher, their master. So they not only want to learn what their master has to say, but they want to mold their life around their master, to be like them.
And the master being ultimately Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
Well, for all of you joining us today, we're going to move into 1 Thessalonians. This is a letter that Paul wrote back to the church in Thessalonica. Paul, you know, he was one of the apostles, but he too is a disciple. And he has Timothy and Silas and Barnabas, and they are disciples of Christ. They are filled with the Spirit. That's kind of how I am on occasion.
Yeah, right. More than on occasion.
But just filled to overflowing with the love of God. And the Holy Spirit has sent Paul out, not to preach to people that are already believers, but he is going to be the great evangelist, not just to the Jews outside Jerusalem, but more importantly to the Gentile world, to your descendants, or not descendants, your ancestors and my ancestors, and to go and... But Paul, he has a pattern, and I don't know if you remember it, Pastor, but I believe it says here in 1 Thessalonians that wrong verse. But what Paul's way of doing things was, if you look in Acts chapter 17, it kind of talks about Paul and what he did, is that Paul would go, and it says here in Acts chapter 17, verse 1, when they, Paul and the crew, had passed through Apollyon and Apollos, they came to Thessalonica, and where there was a Jewish synagogue. As his custom was, Paul went into the synagogue, and on three Sabbaths he reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining everything, proving that Christ had to suffer and rise from the dead. That's so important. Now, as we get into this study on Thessalonians, why, Pastor, is it so important that Christ rose from the dead? I mean, after all, I've heard people say, I believe that I'm a sinner. I believe Jesus died for me and that he has called me to fashion my life after his. And it's not that important to me whether he rose or not. But it is important.
It's
why?
It's extremely important, because if he didn't rise, then everything Jesus claimed would have been nullified. And in 1 Corinthians 15, the Apostle Paul makes it very clear, if Christ has not risen, has not been raised, your faith is futile. It's worthless.
Your faith is in vain.
Yep.
But the idea of Christ rising, well, first he comes to teach us. He comes to to teach us what the scriptures have to say about his coming. And he verifies who he is by signs, wonders, and miracles. And then he goes to the cross. And with his shed blood, and I love it in sign language, you know, blood, you think of a bloody nose, kind of blood flowing down and blood flowing from his side. And after he has been on the cross, the agony of the cross. You said it today, he could have stepped off the cross, but he didn't. He hung in there for us, experiencing every ounce of pain that any human would go through on the cross. It wasn't just nullified because he's got the God-man. No, in his humanness, he suffered it all, and even worse, I think.
Oh, yeah.
And I look at the cross as like an eternity in hell one afternoon. And Jesus spent that time paying for our sins, shedding his blood, so that when they jammed the spear in his side, out flowed little bits of blood, the last remaining bits of blood in a flow of water. Blood and water, and it was over. And they buried him. And he had said, in 3 days I'm going to rise. But for some reason, the women just didn't get it. Well, neither did the men. I'm looking out here at Angela, and she's going, yeah, men didn't either. But that resurrection, it's important. If I were speaking to a group of people who followed after Muhammad, they would say that Jesus is a great prophet, one called the Son of Man. But Allah had no sons. No, Jesus is the Son of God. He is the God-man. And that he did die and rise again. Islam would say, oh, someone was made to look like him and they crucified the wrong person. No. No. You talked about Thomas. You know, when Thomas said, I'm not going to believe it unless I see it myself. Ah. Oh, come on, you're supposed to jump in and do the Thomas.
And of course, what
heaven
says, when he saw Jesus, my Lord and my God.
My Lord and my God. Jesus said, come over here, Thomas, put your finger here, put your hand here. And then he said, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. Blessed are all of you out there who are listening to our voice, watching, listening to what we have to say today. Because what we are saying is we are sharing with you that which is written, that which is in God's inspired, inerrant word, that Christ did have to die and he did have to rise again. And they talk about him being the first fruits. Now, when we think of Paul, we got to get the Thessalonians, Pastor. I kind of sidebarred off to another place.
I just want to bring one more thing in on the authority issue, because there's a belief among many that, you know, Jesus was a great prophet and he came, and some would say he was the Messiah, but that he got killed before he completed what he came to do.
Oh, that's the Scofield Bible.
Yeah, and so now you have more prophets sent by God that are coming to do what Jesus didn't accomplish. But all the way through the Gospels, Jesus makes it very clear that he's going to die. And I love in John chapter 10, he says, I have authority to lay my life down, and I have authority to take it up again. And so at the cross, Jesus chose the time of his death. Nobody killed him, but he chose that time. And I love it. He cried out in a loud voice. It wasn't like, oh, I can barely hang on. But he cries out in a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. And so he was in charge the entire time. Just had to get that.
Well, and he said, it is finished.
Yes.
He has paid the full price.
Yeah.
So when you confess your sins to God, when you confess to one another, if you do it at your home or in a place of business or wherever you are, when you realize that you're a sinner and your sin is maybe it's against someone, maybe it's not, but ultimately all sin is against God. But when you confess that sin and you give it up to God, you're forgiven, not because of just your confession, but you're forgiven because of your trust in Jesus, that he earned for all of us the forgiveness of our sins. Our forgiveness is blood-bought forgiveness. And that then God tells us, now I want you to, you know, yes, you are forgiven. Now go and live as one forgiven. Go and live, you know, that repentance is the word we often use. You know, that change in your life. Yeah, I used to do that, but I don't want to do that anymore. Or with God's help, please, God, help me to not do that. And as we go, it's going to come up in this study of Thessalonians. But now Paul, who was called by Jesus after Jesus had ascended to heaven, Paul was called to be a disciple. He was on the road to Damascus to arrest Christians, and a lightning bolt comes, a flash of incredible light, knocks him off his donkey, and he's blind for 3 days, and he's in this conversation with the Lord. You know, who are you? And he said, why are you persecuting me, Paul? And, well, who are you? He said, well, I am Jesus, the Lord. And it all comes clear to Paul. My God, he is the Lord. He is the promised Messiah. And of course, you can read about all that in the book of Acts, but we're going to pick it up in Thessalonians, where Paul has been sent out of Thessalonica. He's been sent out of several towns. Why? Because he's preaching this gospel of Jesus as Messiah, as Jesus as Savior, as Jesus is the risen Christ. And this just turns the world upside down. Still turns it upside down today,
yes, it
doesn't
does,
it, Pastor?
For sure.
Well, for those of you in your Bibles today, I'm in an NIV study Bible, and I know some of you are in different ones, but I'm going to read this, and then we're going to go back and talk about it. It begins at chapter 1, verse 1, and it says, Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a prayer as we begin our Bible study. Dear Heavenly Father, to all of us gathered here in Greeley, Colorado, and around the world who watch this, Lord, be with us. Your mercy and your grace be upon us, and your Holy Spirit be with us as we study your word. And Paul writes, grace and peace to you. Undeserved favor, grace which is poured out upon you. You know, something that you receive, you didn't earn it, it's just there for you. And with that grace comes peace. When Jesus met with the disciples that first night in the locked room, and he said to them,
peace be with you.
And he showed them his hand. And in his hand was this place where the nails had cut through. And you know, you get to heaven, it's still there. It's something Jesus kept so that when we get to heaven, we go, my God, it is all as you said. But there will be some who will say, my God, oh no, what have I done? For they've followed after other false beliefs, and they've separated themselves from Christ. But as we go into Thessalonians, we always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. We continually remember before our God and Father your work prompted by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you because of our gospel and came to you not simply with words, but also with power in the Holy Spirit and with deep convictions. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. In spite of the severe suffering, you welcomed the message with joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you also became a model to all believers in Macedonia and Achaia. Now we're going to stop there, and we're going to go back and talk about some of these verses. Now, as I read, Pastor, was there anything that stood out to you that you might want to share?
Well, right at the beginning, with verse 2, We always thank God for all of you mentioning you in our prayers, that in the fellowship of the body believers within the church, the apostles really emphasize praying for one another. And
like we pray in our services
and services, Bible classes, but daily to have that quiet time in prayer, to just ponder other people of the faith. Maybe we know some going through difficult times or challenging times, and to hold them up in prayer. And it's so comforting. Many times I'll hear members say, "Oh, Pastor, I know there's lots of people praying for me. I can feel the power of that." And it's just awesome.
Well, some of the things that stood out to me that I would share with all of you is when you look at verse 3, we continually remember before our God and Father your work prompted by faith. Now, I'm not asking you to turn, but if you have a piece of paper, you want to jot this down, I'm actually going to turn back to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. And it says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." Mm-hmm. Faith. As I was in first service today, Pastor, I could see a very dear friend of the congregation, a friend of mine. She just recently went to heaven. I could see her. I could see Letha. And I could almost see her in heaven. I could almost see her with Jesus and there with all the company of heaven. You know, I told her before that when she gets to heaven, she's going to see the seraphs and the cherubim and everybody and the holy, holy, holy Lord God of Sabaoth and the train of God and how his robe fills the temple. Now, I can't see that yet, but it's almost as if I'm getting closer and closer, not by anything I do, but by the study of God's Word. And when he talks to us about living a changed life, and when he talks to us about how the angels watch over us and are for us, and how we have the Holy Spirit. You talked about Matthew 28:19 today. That's one you ought to write down and look up, Matthew 28:19. And it says, "Go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." Now, in baptism, not only are we brought into the family, not only do we come into a relationship of forgiveness, but who is given to us to reside with us, Pastor? Who resides in us even now?
The Holy Spirit.
That's right. Yeah. The Holy Spirit. And it's by that Holy Spirit we can read the Word of God, and it can become true. It is true, but it becomes part of our truth, part of that which fashions our thinking and our speaking and our trusting.
Well, God really describes that well in verse 5 of our text here, 1 Thessalonians 1:5. "Because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power," and here it is, "with the Holy Spirit and with deep conviction."
Yeah. How deep is your conviction, Pastor? Would you be willing to die for that conviction?
I would hope so. I've never been in that situation, but
I would. What if it was just to take a bad beating? I remember one time I talked to a group of people when I was first a pastor in Amherst, and I had talked to them repeatedly about who Jesus was. And one night, one of those young people, now young is about probably 22, 23, this guy was just, he was a Golden Gloves type boxer, he loved to box, and he met me in the driveway of one of the houses one night, and he said to me, "If you talk Jesus to me one more time, I am going to pound you into the ground. There will not be anything left of you." And I stood there and I thought about that. And was I afraid? I was going to hurt. But I was also filled with this truth that that God was with me and God loved this man standing in front of me as much as he loved me. And this man needed to hear about the saving message of Jesus and all Jesus had done for him. And if this man was good enough for Jesus, he was more than good enough for me. And I said to him, then go ahead and do it, because God loves you and so do I. And it was, I expected that was going to be it, lights out. Instead, it was as though he was being held back, and he just turned around and stomped off. He would later come to profess the faith that is here.
Well, you and I were introduced to a gentleman in our Bible study that...
Oh, Calvin! Yeah,
yep, and preaching on the streets of L.A., in fact, Hollywood Boulevard. And remember, he shared the story where these three or four guys ganged up on him and did punch him. But then he was out there day after day, and finally they actually began to communicate with one another. Just shows the power of God's love in the gospel.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
Well, as it says here in verse 4, for we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you because of the gospel. It came to you not simply with words, but also with power. This idea of being chosen by God. Now, some people think in terms of, well, some people have been born to be saved and others have been born to be damned. No, that's not what Jesus was about. Jesus was not just sent to some people. He was sent to all people. And it says in the scriptures that God so loved the world, all of us, that he sent his only son, that if we would but believe, we would not perish but have eternal life. That's the gospel in a nutshell. I've shared that so many times with people and then asked them, do you so believe? And for many people, it's been like a calling and they've been out in the darkness for a long time and it's like a light shining into their life. And instead of running from it, they're brought back to it. Yes, I do remember that. Yes, I believe that.
Pastor Hesse, when you were a kid, I'm sure, when they picked teams, chose, I bet you were right at the front, right?
Oh, no.
Hey, we want Hesse on our team. No.
No.
Well, did it feel kind of bad when, you know, you're the last kid and it's like nobody wants you, but okay, I guess we got to take them.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes people, when they hear chosen in Scripture, they see it in that light. But chosen is a clear way to understand this. When we hear chosen by God, it's pure gospel. God never uses chosen in a law sense of, okay, I chose you, but I didn't choose you. It's always when we are in the faith, God wants us to know from eternity past, he has chosen us to be his own.
The plan to save us played out at the cross, played out at the empty tomb, played out on the streets of Jerusalem and the shores of Galilee. For God so loves us. And just to tell other people, to remind them, to encourage them, to love them, sometimes when they're the most unlovable, sometimes when they're the most hateful or hurtful, to love them then. But we have to remember that first they hated Jesus, and yes, they would hate all those who came after him, but we have to remember his message goes against the teaching of a fallen world, and that we hang on to that. And it says here, this is where we'll pick it up next week at verse 6. Anybody who's been to one of my Bible studies knows that, you know, we may not get very far, but we hopefully are getting into the meat of it. But
the Lord might return before we get through this.
That's
awesome.
True. Yeah. And it says in verse 6, you became imitators of us. And I want you to hang on to that idea. To be an imitator of someone else. Do you have someone in your life, oh, I wish I was more like that person? And I want you to think in terms of another Christian that you know. I have several Christians, and I look at them and I say, oh God, if I could be more like this person or that person, or if I could be more like Peter. And there's a famous Bible song about if you cannot, you know, preach like Paul, you can lift up the hands of those that held up Moses. But the idea of God has made you just right for the work in his kingdom, and he has sent encouragers to go ahead of you and behind you and beside you, and he sent his angels to watch over you, and he sent your pastors to care for us. And I thank you, Pastor, that you've taken up the call of being one of his under shepherds, and that I know as a group of sheep we're sometimes a little rebellious, but thank you for always being there for us. And if I might close this in prayer.
Thank you for being a fellow shepherd as well.
God bless you. Now, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your gospel. For in your gospel is the story of God's love for a fallen world. That you came with the ultimate salvation, no longer just by prophets, but by the God-man himself, Jesus, who came and lived among us, died for us, and rose again for us. And Lord, I ask that you would help us to study that, to look at that, to ask that that be the focal point of our lives, and that each day we might pray that our sins be forgiven, and that those others around us, they might come to know the Lord, and that our faith might be deepened too by study of your word. And we ask this all in Jesus' holy name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen.